We've been going through a study, and actually, I've really been enjoying it. I don't know if you have, but I've been really enjoying it, looking at Christ in the Old Testament. And we talk about types, we've talked about theophanies, and we're going to be looking at prophecies. We're going to pick that up on the other side of Easter for the next couple weeks and finish off that series. Actually, I was really disappointed because last week, being Palm Sunday, and, you know, so I had this talking about Christ and the Passover lamb, and there's so many parallels and so many types of Christ in the old Passover lamb. And so I was so excited, and of course we lost power here, and we didn't have church last week. And so you guys are getting double dose this morning. I get twitchy when I don't preach. It just kind of builds up. So buckle up for a little bit this morning. But I was so excited to talk about this. So next week we'll be talking about Jesus as the Passover lamb. It doesn't quite flow as nice with Easter, but we'll make do. It'll be a good study as we go through that. But I wanted to draw on that because I wanted to bring across on this Resurrection Sunday how this is just a fulfillment that all these things were in God's plan. And we have the scriptures all talks of Christ and points to what he was going to do on the cross. And when we get that total picture and we really can get our minds wrapped around that God is in control. I know you watch the news and sometimes you wonder, it doesn't seem like that, right? It seems like other people are in control. Sometimes it seems like no one is in control, right? I mean, things are just kind of chaos behind the whole scene, and you wonder all what's going on. But as believers, if we can realize that if God can plan Christ's death, the Bible says before the foundations of the world, right, before any atom was put into place, he knew he was going to send his son to die for you. And so all these things happen just as the scripture says. And so as we get into the scriptures and we see these things, it is incredibly eye-opening. God wants us to know him. And we're going to look at this because after the resurrection, right, that Sunday morning on the sunrise service, we talked about how the women came to the tomb. And the stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away, not that Jesus didn't get out. Jesus was already gone. But it was rolled away that we could go in and see. And that's what the angel said, come in and see. And they looked, first the women, and there was no body. Jesus was gone. A little bit later that morning, the disciples come. And they go in and they see that Jesus is gone. To help us realize that Jesus said what he said and did what he said he was going to do. That he could be trusted and be fully relied upon in all things. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I really have to fight of being cynical. You know, maybe you don't have that problem. You know, because after a while, you get burnt 100 times, right? People promise you things and they let you down. You have all these hopes and dreams. You know, you put all this basket of all your things you're looking forward to that you're going to do in the next year or two, and then everything just goes kaput and messes that all up. And so I fight that cynicism. And the only solution I can find is that is looking at the scriptures and look at the hope that it gives me. Of knowing who Christ is. And so we see this in Luke chapter 24. I know typically a lot of people don't see this as a resurrection story. But Luke puts this in here for us to glean because this is the same day as Christ rose from the dead. And Christ appears. And he explains and shows some things. And so the road to Emmaus is to me just a perfect example of how I kind of just live my life. You're walking down the road and these things happen for a purpose and a plan And sometimes they open our eyes up, if we're willing to. So walk with me on this road to Emmaus, if you will. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13, says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus." And this is the same day, talking about the day of the resurrection, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things that had happened. Right? They're leaving Jerusalem, and they, imagine the buzz. Now, it never underestimate the power of the kind of whispering tongue. Right? I mean, before the days of internet, does anyone remember before there was internet? Right? Does anyone remember? Yeah, it was funny, a couple years ago we were at Good News Club, and Paul was talking to some of these munchkins, and they were talking about YouTube, and he's like, "I didn't have YouTube growing up," and these little kids were like, "Oh, a world before YouTube," you know, it's like, how did you watch your cartoons, you know? You had to wait till Saturday morning and watch it in black and white on a little round TV. And it was like, what? Right? How many remember a day and age where the phone was actually something that was attached to the wall? Right? Now I'm really going to separate the wheat from the chaff here, all right? So prepare to feel old. How many know how to work a rotary phone? Oh, I'm impressed. I was camp counselor at a camp, and the guy before me, because you get kids who are homesick and say, I want to call home. So he had a rotary phone. And so his thing was, there's the phone. If you can work it, you can call home. And it was hilarious watching, and this is years ago, and watching these kids try to do a rotary phone, put their fingers in the hole. I mean, it was just like, and all of a sudden they figure out, it moves? It was like, what's this all about? Right? You know, I still have nightmares about doing the zero because you get about the 3/4 of the way through and it glitches and you got to start all over again. Right? Yeah, you guys aren't my people. I'm not that old. But word was getting out. Jesus had risen, right? He had talked about this. We've gone through the Gospel of Matthew. Actually, we spent almost 3 years going through the book of Matthew. And Jesus had warned them several times, look, I'm going to die, but don't worry, I'm going to come back to life. He told them. And guess what? It went in one ear and out the other. Until finally it happened. And they doubted and they feared. The Bible says as they took Jesus away, the disciples were hiding because they thought, oh no, we're next. They're going to take us. And so the women go to the tomb, right? First thing in the morning, and the stone's been rolled away. And look in, and there's no body. And where's Jesus? The angel says he's risen, just as he said. Now go tell the disciples. The women run down. Say, Jesus is gone. They're like, what? Jesus is gone. No, really? Yeah, he's gone. Wow. They go running up. Look in the tomb and guess what? He's not there. Just like he said. And they're like, what happened? And so word got out. Right? And so before there was internet, before there was texting, before there was Facebook, before all that stuff, word still got around. They just found different ways. Right? Especially in small communities. I remember we were in a place and I was told, you know, there was, in this town there was 3 modes of communication. And I was told there was television, there's a telephone, and there was Telewanda. Wanda was the lady in the town. If you told her, it would get around town really fast. So I don't know if there was a Wanda. Hopefully, if there's a Wanda here, is there? I just want to make sure I don't want to offend any. All right, no one has an Aunt Wanda. I'm not talking about her. But we turn around. I don't know if there's a Wanda here, but word got out. And when Passover was over, and people were now starting to travel to their homes. They would come to Jerusalem to worship, to sacrifice their lamb. And now everyone's heading home, and with it came the news. Now, what do you think happened? You know, the soldiers were bribed, and they were telling people that, you know, the disciples came and stole the body. And so it's like, wait a minute, these fishermen showed up and beat up the Roman guards and rolled away this big stone. Right? That makes no sense. But you watch the media, you know, stories don't have to make sense.
And so word got out. And so they're walking back and said, did you hear about Jesus? You know, his body's gone. Disciples are all, you know, confused. What's all going on? You can imagine all the things whirling in their mind. And so as they're walking on the road, you know, it's a 7-mile walk. And they talked about all these things that had happened. So it was, when they conversed in reason, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. I always find it interesting when Jesus, when God works in ways we don't quite understand. Because Jesus shows up, but he makes it so they don't know him. You know, I don't know, did he have a mustache or, you know, was he like Superman, put the glasses on and now you can't understand, right? Somewhere in here, God hid himself. Jesus hid himself from the disciples knowing it. But he's there without him knowing. And that's a whole sermon. Because I believe God is in our lives. As Christians, he walks with us. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He dwells in us. But you know what? I don't always live in that reality. Sometimes I live my life pretending he's not there. Or forgetting he's not there when he actually is right beside me. So you walk around and he goes, hey, what do you guys talk about? Look, he says to them, what kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are sad? Right? A couple of different things. Here the conversation is Jesus is risen, but what's the emotional state of these disciples? They're what? They're sad. Or are they sad because Jesus rose from the dead? No, I think they're sad because he died and they weren't sure about the resurrection. Right? And sometimes in our lives, folks, this is just a side tidbit. But doesn't that reflect on us? Because sometimes we are reacting to the old news. How things were. We spend a lot of time thinking about the past. And when that happens, we miss the point of what God's doing in our life right now. Right? We see this all the time. You ever talk to someone and say, oh, well, this is great. And they're like, yeah, but last week. Well, it's not last week. It's now. Yeah, but 2 weeks ago. No, what about now? Rejoice in what you have now. And so they're walking with Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, what's going on, guys? What are you guys talking about? It says, one of those, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And you have not known the things which have happened here in these days? I love this. Jesus kind of plays dumb and says, what things? Right? Are you the only person that don't know? He's like, well, what are you guys talking about? Now, oftentimes God asks us things that he already knows. As parents, you do this all the time. Right? You know? Who took the cookie from the cookie jar? You know who took the cookie from the cookie jar, right? Well, why do you ask? Because you want them to say it, right? And sometimes God brings us to that point where he wants us to share what's going on. And so in here, he goes, you know, haven't you heard? Are you the only one? How can you not know? Right? The disciples are hiding. Jesus' body's missing. There's rumors that he's alive and the lady saw the angel. And what's all going on? So all this buzz is going on. How do you not know? And so Jesus brings it out of him. I want to point something out. At this point, these two disciples who are walking on this road to Emmaus, right? They know of Jesus. Right? They have these facts. They, you know, they knew Jesus was teaching. They knew he was healing. They were doing all these things. But in here, they didn't grasp, right? They knew, but they didn't know. And there's a lot of people who are that way in life, right? You're here this morning, and I'm thankful that you're here this morning. I don't know your motive, right? I don't know if you're here because you want to be here. I don't know if someone dragged you here. I don't know if someone promised you dinner. You come to church, I'll feed you. Right? I don't know your motive for being here. But I'm guessing somewhere, at some level, you don't mind being here. Right? So we're all at least in this level. Right? There's people who are all around who have no concept of what today is.
Right? That this is the day we celebrate Christ rising from the dead. Without that, there is no Easter. Right? And we live in a world where we want to talk about bunnies and talk about all these other things and add it to. And some people have a substitution of. It broke my heart. I just saw that the White House, they were doing an egg decorating thing for I think, the children of veterans. And they told them no religious symbols on the eggs. And that broke my heart. Because that's what this is about. Right? And so there's a lot of people who have no interest in God. And unfortunately, I think as a country, we're getting more and more people who have no interest in God at all. Right? I'm going to guess you're here this morning, or people are watching online, that you have a step here. You came here, and you're not surprised when I mentioned Jesus from the pulpit. Right? You guys, I think, actually, I'm hoping that you would be highly disappointed if you left, and I didn't. Right? So there's some part of you who is drawn into this, that you know of Jesus. You've heard about him. Maybe you're not settled all that you know about him, right? But you're interested in those things. That's kind of where these disciples are walking on the road. Jesus is with them. They don't recognize him. But they know of what's going on. Does that make sense? And there's a lot of people who kind of fall into this category. You know, in town here, I thought it was funny when I first came to town and I was down here. There's a little store. It was Lighthouse. I think it was Lighthouse. And it, I was sitting at the counter. I was having pizza. I was talking to a guy. Struck up a conversation because I'm really not that shy and bashful. I mean, I come across as being shy and bashful, but I'm really not. And so I struck up a conversation with someone that I didn't even know. And we're just talking in general. And somehow we got around to the subject of churches. And he goes, I go to church. I said, great, so do I. I said, where do you go? He goes, I go up to the church up the road. He's pointing up to this church. I said, really? At this point, I've been pastor here probably about 3 years. I said, really? He goes, oh, yeah, that's my church. I said, oh, fantastic. I said, so we're talking, and he's trying to get out of me where I go to church. And I'm kind of dodging this because this is kind of fun. Right? And so I asked him, I said, well, this is your church? I said, well, how do you like the church up there? He goes, oh, it's a great church. I said, oh, how's the pastor? And he goes, oh, great guy, da da da. And so we're talking in general, and finally he's like, I haven't been for a little while. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, how long? He goes, well, Pastor Rose was the pastor when I was there. Now, Pastor Rose has been many moons since he was here. So then we came back around. He goes, well, where do you go to church? I said, I go to church up the road here. He goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, I'm the pastor. And he kind of looked at me like, oh. Right? Yeah, this is his church. If or when he comes, right? But it's been a while. There's a lot of people who know of Jesus, or they think they know about God. And so maybe you're in that first group. I want to encourage you to keep walking on this road to Emmaus. Luke continues on. So they said to him, right? Jesus said, what are you guys talking about, right? Are you the only one who ever heard? He's like, what? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Besides all this, today's the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. And then they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen also in a vision angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman said. But he himself they did not see. Right? They got the details. Right? They know their stuff. And they're like, we don't know where Jesus is. Let me ask you, where was Jesus? He was right there. But didn't know who he was. Once again, there's a lot of people who know of Jesus.
There's some people who can tell you a Bible story or two. They might be able to pull a verse out of their pocket. But they don't know him. And we see this as played out. As we walk a little bit further with the Lord, we get to the point where we know about him. Look what happens here. And then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them all the scriptures, the thing concerning himself. Right? This is the study we've been kind of going through, Jesus in the Old Testament, that we go through the Old Testament, we talk about these sacrifices, we talk about all these people, we talk about all these stories, all these events, and they all point to Jesus. This is a story, this is a love story of God towards you, of all that Christ has accomplished. And imagine this walk. I mean, you're going down through, and Jesus, all of a sudden, now he starts expounding about all of this and how it talks about him. And as they're walking down the road, slowly it changes. Right? They get to a point now where now they have the facts. Now they know about him. And that's a big step. You know, my theme verse for the year is that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to learn about God, this is how you do it. And faith is taking what you read and putting it into action in your life. That's faith. And by doing what he tells me to do. Well, Pastor, that sounds really simple. Now, sometimes it's hard to do what it says. Right? And we falter, and we stumble. We don't always get it right. But he forgives us, and we pick up and we try again. But to know about him, to know of Jesus, and hearing and learning of him, brings us into a deeper place. Mark gives an interesting passage. Jesus talks about a sower goes out to sow, and he throws some seed on different grounds, and some falls on rocky ground, and nothing happens to it. And he throws some seed on some pretty good soil, but there's a whole bunch of other things in here. And he talks about the seed being the Word of God. The Word of God goes into someone's life. Right? This morning, I'm going to say I'm throwing up seed. You want to sit back. I don't mean it quite that way. I'm giving out seed, right? I'm not throwing up. But, right, I'm casting it out. I'm giving you God's word, right? I got my words, but it's really the scriptures that are the important thing. And now the question is, what do you do with that? Right? Some people hear the Bible, they don't care. Right? They know of God, but that's it. And some of us sitting here, and the Word of God hits our hearts, and we're like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I want more of that. I want the peace you talk about. I want to have the joy. I want to talk about the salvation. I want to hear about Jesus who died on the cross. You know, we can't talk about Easter without talking about the cross. Jesus rose from the dead. Why? Because he died. And he died. Why? For you. That he took the punishment for your sins. That's an amazing thing. Jesus didn't come because you're good. Right? Christians aren't just good people. Actually, some of the most messed up people I know are Christians. So, welcome to the group. Right? If you came here looking for the perfect pastor, I'm going to have to send you somewhere else. Right? I'm probably the most flawed guy here. And Jesus died for my sins. For my shame of all that I did. That through confessing him as my Lord, believing he was God who died on the cross, who took that penalty, by accepting that free gift, he now comes in me and he substitutes. Right? And the wonderful thing of the cross, that he took my sin and he gave me his righteousness. It's not my righteousness. It's not my goodness. It's his. So it doesn't matter how far away from grace you have fallen.
He said he is, the work is finished. He accomplished it all. Right? And so that changes things. So you say, well, Pastor, that means I can go live however I want. No, it changes things. Because when I look at the cross, and I look at all he did for me, I don't know if you've ever watched, like, The Passion of the Christ. You watch a movie that betrays, it is awful. I've talked with people who said, you know, I've seen it once, I can never watch it again because it's so brutal of what Jesus went through. But it's a good reminder for us because that's what I deserve. That's what my sin deserves. And now because he's forgiven me, I want to live a life that's pleasing to him. Not to earn it, but to show how much I love him back. Right? I mean, how many of you, especially if you have the idea of, you know, children and all that, I mean, that's probably the closest I can bring into some of these relationships we have. Right? But because I love my wife, there's certain things I don't do. Or sometimes things I shouldn't do, and I do, and I'm saying, I'm sorry, right? But we look through, because it changes. Right? I love my children. And because of that, I don't do certain things. I change my behavior. Why? Because I love them. That's the motivation. Not to earn it. Not to say, look how good I am. Because I'm not. So the cross shows me this mirror of what I should have deserved. But his grace says he did it for you and me. Not because we're good enough. Right? Jesus did not die for righteous people. He died for sinners. Well, Pastor, you're telling me I'm a sinner? Yeah. Actually, I don't have to tell you that. You don't have to get far into this. But the good news is he dies for sinners. He loves sinners. He changes sinners. He died for them. Wow. But we talk about the one, here the word comes in, and he uses this illustration of a sower. I want to take a look at this person who knows and may have the facts of God. Right? Who maybe they grew up in church or they've been listening, and yet there's a problem. Look at what Mark says. It says, now there are ones sown among the thorns. This is the word of God, right? The seed hits, and it falls among thorns, and they're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and becomes unfruitful. See, this is the difference between someone who kind of knows of God to someone who knows about God. They got the facts. But there's so many other things in their life that's vying for all the affections. Right? Jesus told a rich man who came to him, obey all the commandments. And the guy's like, yeah, I did all that, right? I've done all the good. Oh, look how good I am. And Jesus looked at him and said, well, sell all that you have. And the man walked away sad because he was rich. Now, Jesus doesn't tell us all to give up. Give up everything. But see, his problem was he wasn't willing to give that up for Jesus. And so maybe there's things in your life as you're walking down this road, right? You've transitioned to knowing just about him. But now you know of him, right? You're learning about him. You're exploring him. You're realizing he is who he says he is. And yet, there's other things in your life that's crowding in. There's other things that you may love more than Jesus. And Jesus says, love me first. And these things are choking your life. There's things that take your time, your energy, your material things. Right? These are things that say, you know what? I'd love to be... I'd love to go to church, but I got all this other stuff. Oh, I'd love to be a more dedicated Christian. But you know what? I got all this other garbage in my life, right? That's all the weeds. Those are all the things that choke us in our life. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, how you want to look at it, we live in a day and age where a lot of the things in our lives are being taken from us. Right? Sometimes our financial security is going by the wayside. Right? Prices are going up. I mean, I went through, it was Burger King. I hadn't been Burger King for a long time. Went through Burger King and got a meal.
You know, it's like $15. I'm like, for this? This is fast food. I remember, right? I mean, you can almost go to a real restaurant and order. I mean, I'm just like, what? You know, and where's he getting in the bay? And it looks like the guy said, you know, oh. You know, I pull this burger up and it's like this round ball. I'm like, it's not even good. I ate it, but like I'm not, you know, I'm not, $15, I'll lick it off the floor at that point, right? If I got that much invested in it. But I was like, it's not even good. The cost and the struggles, all these things in our lives, I think God is preparing. I believe Jesus is coming back soon. But I think he's preparing his church because there's not a whole lot of middle ground that much anymore. Right? The world's going so crazy. I can't agree. I just had a lady message me. And she took me to task on something that I said. And all the point was is that, you know what? We all have sin. I have sin in my life. You have sin now. Your sin may not be mine. Right? But all that tells us is that we need a Savior. We all need a Savior. Not because I'm okay, you're okay, therefore, let's all do whatever we want, right? No, it's that we all are struggling with our own issues. And God says, come. But come. And maybe you're like, you know, Lord, I want to be more sold out. Maybe I want to go off, but all these things in my life are just choking. There's things I can't let go of to follow you. And I warn you with this, this isn't me. The Bible says that what you become unfruitful. And that's a dangerous position for someone who claims to be a Christian in. That God's trying to produce in you his goodness and producing you his fruit. And you can't do that because of all the stuff that you're hanging on to, he says, let go of. But it's interesting because the story doesn't end here. Right, so we have the road of Emmaus, right? Jesus is risen. He shows to these two. They're walking down the road. First of all, haven't you heard the buzz, right? They know of Jesus. Jesus takes the time to explain who he is. And now they know about him. But my goal this morning is I hope us all to say, look, I want to be this last group. I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you. Oh, I know all about you. Isn't that a song, Know You, I Know All About You? I'll save you the rest. I don't know the rest. That's all I know. I think it's a commercial. Anyways. But we look at this, and knowing the Lord, all that he is, that I may be an open book that he will have every area of my life. That he works in me and changes me so I can become fruitful. Look what happens. As this story goes on back in Luke. It says, then they drew near to the village, right? The trip is over. 7 miles, they've walked 7 miles. That's a lot of conversation you can have in 7 miles. As Jesus explains, and they get to the village. And they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards the evening, the day is far spent. And so they went in to stay with him. There was something about this man. Now, they didn't understand who he was, right? God had hidden that from their view, right? But there was something here in how he talked. There's something that was drawing him. He was not like someone else. Right? So they come to the inn. They come back to their house. And Jesus is going, okay, guys, I'll talk to you later. And they're like, no, no, please stay. Please stay. Come in, the day's far spent. I find this funny because they're saying, oh, it's too late to be traveling. After this all happens, they run all the way back 7 miles that same night. It's all relative. But they said, please come and stay. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. You see what happened? They got to a point, Lord, we want more. Right? Come. They invited him in to stay. I don't want this to end. And maybe God's working in your life, and he's brought you to that point where you're like, Lord, I don't want anything else. There's nowhere else for me to go. You know, I've tried all this stuff in the world, right? All these thorns, all these things that are pulling in my life. I even have tried all those. And there's something about Jesus. There's something about his word. There's something I'm hungry for. Lord, I want more. I'm willing to give up all this other stuff for you. And what happens? They come in, and as in fellowship, their eyes were opened, and they know him. They know him. And I believe most Christians really come to this point where you've gone too far, you've seen too much, that you know there's no one else. There's no one but Jesus. And Lord, I want all of you. I'm not saying at that point we're perfect. We still stumble. We still mess up. But you know Jesus is the answer. He knows he's it. And you're willing to give up everything else for him. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? Right? They had crossed over from that road. They said, look, we knew this was the truth. Right? He was sharing this, but we didn't know who he was. We're finding about him. But Lord, I want to know you. You know, there's a whole lot of difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. I'm just reading about someone and experiencing them. God wants you to experience him in a very real way. And see, they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. I love how that throws it in there, right? Oh, it's too late. Come on in. You know, it's too long to go on the road. Right? And then, oh, wow, this is Jesus. And in here, they get this energized, and they run back 7 miles, and it's just like it's nothing, right? Why? Because they've seen Jesus. When Jesus comes into our lives, he does energize us to live for him. We find joy in him. I was talking to someone, we're talking about this idea of church, of being together with God's people, of doing, you know, we do a Bible study midweek on Tuesdays. There's a plug, right? 6:30, we do that next door. But you know, we do these things. And someone's like, you know, don't you ever get sick of going to church? Don't you get sick of reading the Bible? And I'm like, no, I get excited over this. I want to know more. I want to draw closer. You know, and then people are like, well, yeah, because you're the pastor. And I don't really have to come up with a good answer for that, because it's true. If I'm not here, I think someone might miss me. You know, Chris would jump up here and preach, you know, but, and like, ah. But I was this way before. But there's this love that comes into our lives where we just can't get enough. And it energizes us. Paul told the Philippians this, that he says, I want to know him and what and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Lord, I want to know you and I want to experience you. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead. Look at this. What I see great is the greatness of power of God towards us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he works in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Right? The power that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in us to accomplish all he needs us to do. Wow. You say, well, I can't do it on my own. That's a good place to be. I can't do it on my own. I need God's help. And you know what? He wants it. He wants me to be dependent on him. It's funny, I was talking to someone, and we were talking about temptation of sin. And they're like, well, what happens if I get tempted with sin? I said, pray.
Anytime we're tempted by a bad thought or to do something, pray to God. And the person was like, man, I would always be praying. I said, well, actually, there's a verse that says pray without ceasing. Maybe Paul had that in mind. Right? I need God every moment. But there's peace in that. Security in that. If you'll trust in Him. Because all these things come down to with walking with the Lord, of knowing Him, He brings in our life a fellowship that I know I can talk to Him anytime. I know the Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I know He's always there. He gives us a joy that passes understanding. You know, I grew up in church, and I don't know if you guys, how many of you guys grew up in church, but there used to be an old Sunday school song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Okay, if you got that, where? Down in my heart, where? Right? And the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Woo! That was a little Baptist, give it to Satan. Right? But I got the joy in my heart. You know, if I watch too much television, and I watch too much of the news, and listen too much talk radio, you know what happens? My joy levels go down. You know what I need? Lord, give me more of You. Give me more of You. And that changes things. It does. Because when I get into His Word, I'm reminded of that power that Christ has in us to live for Him. And you also have a hope. I shared this morning, a couple months ago, I was down at the clinic and my blood pressure checked and a few other things. And, you know, I don't know if you've been to the doctor recently, but you go in there and they pull out this long list of, you know, can you sleep at night? And they go through, do you feel insecure with your food? I'm like, look at me. Right? And you go through all this list of things, which actually have nothing to do with my physical, but it's all with my mental. And I asked her, I said, how many people actually answer affirmative in a lot of these things? And she goes, our number one issue dealing with, this is the town of Stockton Springs, number one issue people deal with is loneliness. People are lonely. Which blows my mind. You know? Because I got this thing which is like a leash. It beeps and buzzes and lets me know, right? I know more about, right? If you're one of these people that takes pictures of your breakfast to show what people you have for breakfast, we don't care. All right? I'm just saying. Right? If you want to talk to your spouse, do it in person. You don't have to, right? Anyways, but all these things are going on. But it's amazing. We are so involved in other people's lives and what's going on. And it's all distorted. And it's all warped. And yet we're so detached. But we have a hope of something better. I got a big spoiler alert. If you sneak a peek at the end of the book, Jesus wins. And He wants you to be on the winning team. And I need that hope. I'm just going to leave you with one more verse. And this is in the resurrection. This is the passage where the angel speaks. He says, He is not here, He is risen as He said. And I know I've talked about it. And this is my favorite verse on Easter. If Jesus can keep that promise, nothing is too hard for Him. Amen? All the promises He gives, all the fulfillments that are laid out before us, He is risen as He said. Trust in Him. Today, I want to ask where you are on that road. Are you on the outskirts and you know about Jesus? Right? You know of Him? Maybe you know about Him. You have sort of the head knowledge, but there's other things in your life that are just crowding in. And Jesus says, give me your all. And you're like, God, I'll give you some.
I want to encourage you to all step into that last bit and know Him. Have a relationship with Him. That Jesus died on the cross for your sin. You should have died. That was your sin. And yet He died for that. He paid your price. That if you will accept Him, open your heart and follow Him, He will come, the Bible says. He'll wash you white as snow. He'll take away your sin and give you His righteousness. And He says, walk with Me. I mentioned the text I had from this lady. And she made a comment. She goes, don't you know that we are all the children of God? And the Bible does not say that. We are all created in God's image. That He is our Creator. But John's really clear. It says that them that who believe on Him, He gives the right to be called the children of God. And what a blessing that is. That when I give my life to Him, He adopts me. I become His child. You become His child. You're part of the family. What a blessing that is. I pray today you will draw closer to Him. Give your life. Surrender to Him. Maybe there are things in your life. Say, Lord, take this, take this. Lord, help me to walk with You. Lord, take me from knowing of You or about You. But Lord, I want to know You. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, the hope we have on this Resurrection Sunday. Lord, help us to surrender our lives and all that we have towards You. And in this, Lord, know You like never before. To know Your forgiveness, to know Your love. All we have to do is surrender, believe, and You will forgive, and You will draw us in. Lord, today can be a new day in You. Lord, we ask these things in Your name. Amen.